T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I know.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say
you better run. Yeah, I'm an earthquake.
Monday. I get it. They're expecting storms today, Jeffrey. Are you batting down?
Batting down the hatches? Well, I had to run to daycare this morning. We got off to a hot start. We needed Tylenol, so I'm not even aware of like what's going on in the world.
It is so. It is. Little kids, man. That is something else. Anyway, it is Monday, and so we got Dan Devine in the next segment. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Bunch of things happened today. Otani talks, I'm going to guess, through a new interpreter. So Otani talks today.
Is that a new bookie?
That is one thing that happens today. The Memphis Grizzlies play Denver tonight. Jeffrey, after having bested San Antonio over the weekend.
They were so close.
Jaren Jackson Jr. Coming through. Whether you like it or not, and the Grizzlies win that one. They got Denver tonight. Caitlin Clark plays tonight. Jeffrey, do you know that she plays? Well, they. It's a team.
The Hawkeyes.
There's no. Can't spell Caitlin without. Hawkeyes play
this.
West Virginia.
Iowa women's basketball is one thing before Caitlin Clark, and I imagine there'll be one thing after Caitlin Clark.
It is something else.
There seems to be what difference.
Anyway, that happens tonight, and as I said, storms are expected. By the way, if you're checking in with your Memphis Grizzlies and their...
I know. It was devastating.
Well, here's the thing, Jeffrey. Your Portland dream is dead. Are you willing to concede?
When y'all didn't carry your weight like a month ago, yes, I conceded.
So the five worst teams are Detroit, Washington, San Antonio, Charlotte, and Portland. Portland with 19 wins, the Grizzlies with 24. That ship has sailed. So then it's really just a battle for sixth from the bottom. And there, I hate to say it, Toronto will not be. They're showing the level of commitment Toronto is that the Grizzlies just are not.
Yeah, 10 straight.
10 straight losses. Whereas the Grizzlies in their last 10 are 4-6. What kind of an effort is that?
Well, you knew where this was headed when they brought back Dez.
And they won Friday without Dez.
I know.
And then, I suppose there's some danger that they could catch Brooklyn. Brooklyn has two more wins. That's the only one. You never know. I guess Toronto could go on a tepid streak. That's the equivalent of a hot streak at that level. But I'm a little concerned about it, honestly, because I like Donovan Klingon. The more and more I see of that monster, the more and more I like him. Anyway, so a lot happening today in its own way. I'll ask you, let me start with this, Jeffrey.
All right.
Grade the NCAA tournament so far. Letter grades. We're talking letter grades here.
I give it like a strong B.
Okay.
Like a solid B.
Now you're the teacher and you have to write the little report to the parents off to the side. I don't know if they do that. Do they do that anymore now that it's online?
Do you have to explain your work?
So there you what are the strengths of the young tournament and what are the things the young tournament, what are the weaknesses of the young tournament?
I think one of the strengths of the tournament is we have kept a lot of really good teams alive. We basically have, the top eight are still intact. And we are setting up for what I think could be an outstanding Thursday through Sunday.
Whether you consider this a strength or a minus, there are no Cinderellas.
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing is NC State.
And NC State is not a freaking Cinderella. This year, it is an unlikely run that they're on, right? It is an unlikely run that NC State is on. But this is not Loyola. This is not George Mason. There is no Cinderella left in this tournament. And so you consider that a strength.
Yes, because I think typically what we see is when you get all the big upsets week one, then you wind up getting a lot of games during the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight that are just kind of blowouts. And I think that
we had a fair number of this weekend.
And I think that was because we saw for a couple of things. Number one, I think what we really saw this weekend is the teams that we knew were good all year, for the most part, they showed, they're kind of in a different
class. One of the interesting things is, all the number ones and all the number twos have advanced.
Yep.
Plus two threes. Two threes were knocked out. Two fours were knocked out. The only double-digit seed remaining in the tournament is NC State, which by traditional definition is not some kind of a Cinderella. It's interesting to me because while it's true, the teams that we thought were good look good. We also expected some level of chaos. Like we expected some, we said, this tournament's going to be who the hell knows, parody.
Sure.
All we saw during the regular season was top 10 teams going on the road and losing, right?
Yep.
Now, this isn't on the road. These are neutral site games. I think the strength of the tournament has been we got a couple of really fabulous upsets.
Yes.
In Oakland beating Kentucky, which is maybe the best upset there could have been.
Yeah.
With Jack Golke as we got the character.
Yep.
Right? We got the dude hitting the 10-3 pointers and Oakland and beating Kentucky. Like the best villain, the best, like it was perfect. That was a perfect upset. Even putting aside my well-known thoughts about all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect upset. And Yale beating Auburn, also fun.
Yeah.
Right? Yale beating Auburn, also fun. So we got some upsets. We got some close games, including one in Memphis, which we'll get to in a minute. Two in Memphis, really, at the end, which we got to in a minute. And then you're right. And then we got chalk.
The biggest reason why I gave it a B is I did feel like on Saturday and Sunday, there was a decent amount of, and maybe this is now how we've just structured the schedule where these standalone games, and it felt like a lot of the standalone games.
The schedule was awful yesterday. And then all of a sudden you got five games a night that are interesting.
Correct. And to me, it's like, I don't understand. I always, maybe this is me because this is the way I grew up. The Sunday, I don't think it needs to go till 11:30.
It does not need to go till 11:30. People do go to sleep.
Correct. Like, we could have started, if you want to have one standalone game, fine. Then start staggering them an hour apart from each other, and that seems to me to be the way that it works the best. But I did feel like I thought the basketball kind of slowed down for the most part on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you had games that honestly you knew would be blowouts that were blowouts.
Yeah.
Like, Son Ben was at the UConn game yesterday, and honestly, there's two blowouts there. Duke takes care of James Madison. James Madison had looked good, obviously beating Wisconsin, but then fell apart against Duke. Like, it was not the slightest bit competitive.
I never considered
that Northwestern would beat UConn. And so you're just like,
no, the only thing you were worried about was that line.
Same thing with Purdue.
Like, the line got a little uncomfortable at the end, so that was the only thing you worried about in the UConn game. But then Purdue, basically, like, the last 30 minutes of basketball. And I felt the same way, honestly, about North Carolina and Michigan State. Like, the first 10 minutes, you're
Yeah, and then
the entire second half, you're like, oh, North Carolina looks
so
like
I actually think
really good.
Taken as a weekend, in terms of entertainment, I'd give it a C. Like, we had the two upsets, right?
Yep.
And then we had some close games. But fundamentally, what are we talking, like, if you're just talking about the basketball part,
yeah,
what are we talking about today? We'll get to the Memphis stuff in a minute. But, like, there wasn't a lot of great, except Kentucky and except Yale, there wasn't a lot, like, Tennessee rolls, right? You know, I mean, it's good for Tennessee. They're thrilled, absolutely. We'll get to their path in a minute. But we had a lot of one-sided affairs, you know? So I thought, just in terms of the basketball, particularly after you got past Thursday and Friday, which is when the upsets happened, the weekend was only okay.
I did feel like we added more teams. And again, I understand this can be recency bias, and this is all, you saw two games. I thought coming into the weekend that I would be surprised if someone other than UConn, Houston, or Purdue ended up winning.
And you added teams that you think could win.
And I do think that, I think we've added some teams where you're like, okay, I can see that.
Okay, so who have you added here? Carolina
was a fringe below them. I now think that Carolina can very much win this thing. I honestly think I could envision a world where Tennessee wins.
I can envision a world where Tennessee wins the thing.
Tennessee,
the defense is absolutely stifling.
And Tennessee, like, that Texas game is a game that Tennessee would regularly lose.
Yep.
And they did not lose it.
I don't really think, I don't include Duke among the teams that can win.
I felt like Duke yesterday had an unbelievable shooting performance.
I do feel like, I don't include them among the teams that can win, but I do include them among the teams that could beat, I do think they could beat Houston.
Absolutely, for the exact reason I just mentioned.
Right, and because Houston's bad.
Houston's banged up, like, yes.
So, I don't think Duke is a national championship, you know, really a real contender, but could they do that? Then they got NC State or Marquette. Could Duke make the Final Four? Yes, they could.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Duke could make the Final Four. So I thought it was I'm with you. I give it a B because I think it sets up nicely and because we have, you know, Jack Oakley is one of goes up there in the pantheon, right, of entertaining characters and big upsets and all of that. And plus we got Yale and Auburn. Grand Canyon, I'm less enamored with. It's barely a school.
Well, it was nice for me to see St. Mary's get popped.
Okay, now do this.
All right.
Grade the Memphis Memphis bracket.
So
the Memphis experience writ large.
So
what are you giving it? The whole thing.
I was kind of feeling B minus. Because the first four games, I think, were all decided by 20 points or more.
Friday was a D minus.
Yeah.
And honestly, the only reason it wasn't better than a D minus was Nebraska fans. And let us proclaim right here, Jeffrey, that we are, I think we're the first people to say when we're wrong, aren't
mm-hmm.
we?
Like, go Big Red.
We are the first people to say when we're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But when we are right, it often goes under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Unspoken.
Give us our credit. Yeah. Give us our flowers.
I do believe that when we were discussing in advance what fan base would flood the city of Memphis, we came to the complete agreement that it would be the Husker fans. And sure enough, who showed up in force Friday? Husker fans.
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
The Big Red.
The Big Red. So that was great. Like, that was great. That they are one of the few things. The turnout of the Nebraska fans was one of the few things that kept Friday from being a complete disaster, because the games were all blowouts. And you, not only that, games are blowouts, and you're looking around all over the rest of the country, and it's fun.
Correct.
And in Memphis, it was, hey, look at all these Nebraska fans. This is fun. And then Nebraska goes and loses.
Correct. And really wasn't ever really in it.
Yeah, no.
Like, you didn't even consider, like, oh, maybe.
So
at first, I was actually thinking...
That's a D-minus.
But I was thinking on Friday, that might not be such a bad thing. It's like, okay, you get these blowouts, and then maybe we could get two really good
sort
games.
Sort of a miniature version of what Correct. You think is happening across the broader tournament.
Correct. Could get two really good games on Sunday. And honestly, Baylor, like... came back and tried to make it interesting. But
it was interesting. When Jacoby Walter is with 36 seconds left to the line with two shots to tie, that is interesting.
But it wasn't a fun watch until the last five minutes. 8 minutes?
Yeah, and it wasn't a fun watch.
Yeah.
It was interesting, though.
Correct.
P.J. Hall's really good. Like, that, he had fouled out at that point.
But, like, that was the whole thing. It's like, oh, is this game going to go to overtime? Clemson doesn't have any players. And that became, like, became the narrative of the who's going to have players for overtime.
And then Jacoby Walter, who will be a lottery pick in the NBA draft, steps to the line, 36 seconds left for Baylor. You're going to have to do that twice. Yeah. Yeah. I feel for the kid, but... you know what? Not that much.
Yeah, no, he'll be okay.
I mean, it's not like he's a lifetime Baylor Bear.
But
he just arrived on campus. He just arrived on campus, and in a couple of months, he's going to be a gazillionaire.
Right. I do not.
Don't really feel.
I don't feel sorry for
this
him.
This is not a guy who's spent his whole life wanting to be in that position.
Correct.
And at the end of a 5-year career. This is...
But I did think that game itself was kind of an interesting little microcosm of, okay, when we talk about, like, what's the formula? What's the, like, way to do it? Like, Baylor does it and goes and gets talent. Like, you see, like, you... In Baylor terms of which team looked better off the bus, that would be the Baylor Bears. But then you have the other team that's gritty, experienced, with all the older guys. One team steps up with their freshman. I think he was 81% from the line. Clangs both. Then Clemson's 60% guy
that
gets up
amazing.
And drills two.
Guy just
like and they were and they were
pure,
just like stepped to like rock
totally
solid.
Pure, absolutely. Well, and then they have, and we'll get to this in a minute. Like they've got, I don't know if it's two lottery picks on that Baylor team, but they've got certainly two top 20 picks
they
on that Baylor team.
Two first rounders.
And Misi was the other. Misi with a big 2 points, 4 rebounds.
Yeah,
and. And so you have Clemson that wins. And now, so that game was not a great watch, but was fascinating at the end.
Yes, absolutely.
Became really interesting at the end. And then
I have no idea what to even describe this game.
Now, does the fact it happened so damn late, this gets to the schedule thing. You know, like, can you salvage the weekend in Memphis by having this game,
everyone's just exhausted.
I'm giving the Memphis bracket A, and let's be honest, except for the Husker fans, not great. Not great. Except for the Husker fans, not great. I'm giving it a B-minus, C-plus, and only because I'm giving them credit for the Memphis band filling in for Colgate.
That was awesome.
So that was Cole, the Mighty Sound of the South. We're big supporters of the Mighty Sound of the South here on this show.
Shout out to all of them.
They filled in for Colgate, so that was good. And by the way, it is amazing how it works. Like, I was at the mayor gave a, I talked about this last week, Positively Memphis Luncheon, the last Positively Memphis Luncheon, because Pat Halloran, who threw them, has passed away, sadly. And so the mayor was talking there. And I, before the, at this quote-unquote Positively Memphis Luncheon, I'm sitting in the back, I got my laptop open, and someone wanders up and said, so do you think we can get through this weekend without a murder? And, well, I mean, of course, not writ large without a murder. Of course we can't. But, like, without some horrific thing happening to a visitor.
Right.
There was that a domestic shooting, like, the night before, whatever. But, honestly, who knows? Like, I don't know what we'll find out.
I was not on the police scanners this
but
weekend.
A pretty uneventful weekend.
Agreed.
Seems like people had a good time.
A good uneventful weekend.
Hope they
weekend.
Got a good crowd down out there with the Majestic. And it would have been better if the Nebraska fans stayed. But But I still think it's only we'll get back to the Houston thing, A&M thing in a minute. I'm only giving it a, because Friday was such a dud, I'm only giving it a C minus. C. I'll give it a solid C.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I did think, even though the Houston game happened late and the ending was chaotic, I did think, like, watching that game, it was like, man, this is a fist fight.
Well, it was a brawl.
Like, that was a
52 fouls called.
Yeah.
And it was an absolute brawl. And then you have this sort of amazing scene.
I mean, that last play, that pass?
Yep.
I mean, that's like finding your fourth option, yeah. Coming back to it.
Garcia threading. With 1.2 seconds left, and Garcia drops in the three.
And when it left his hand, you knew it was overtime. It, too. Like, right when he caught the pass, like, oh, that's going to hit.
It was incredible. And so then you have this scene where Houston, this elite defensive team, tested, experienced, elite defensive team, was up 13 with 3:33 left.
I think they were up 10 with a minute 12.
And allows A&M to come back and tie on the Chalmers-esque three-pointer.
Yes.
At this
on what appeared to be like their fifth chance in that possession.
Yes. You also have four starting Cougars have fouled out. And it is interesting. In this scenario, you often think, well, they're dead in overtime. That's an emotional killer.
Yes.
That's certainly what we thought in the national championship game when Memphis faced a similar circumstance against Kansas, cooked once they got to OT. Houston was not cooked when they got to OT. Not only that, they send a walk-on. They send a walk-on because they got nobody else up to hit two foul shots. He hits one of two.
But he just needed to hit one of two.
He just needed to hit one of two to clinch the thing. So there was high drama at the end.
Well, and then you had Jamal Shedd playing the whole game. The only reason why he didn't play 45 minutes because he fouled out.
I know. No, that's the old, like, strength in numbers BS.
Play your dudes.
Strength in dudes, man.
Yes.
Strength in numbers. Strength in dudes. Find your best players. Feed them minutes. They will love you. They will stay. They will not transfer at the end of the year. Identify your best players and play them till they drop.
Literally.
Literally, in some circumstances, literally drop. Other highlights from the weekend. We had Jim Nance here rooting for Houston, so that was
I think we were the celebrity.
We had
region.
Johnny Manziel here.
And we had Slick Rick.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a kind of a celebrity situation over there. And then we had the three-point contest on Beal. And it was funny because there was Jess tweeted out a picture of the mayor hitting a three-point shot, draining, absolutely draining.
A no-doubter.
Jessica Benson did. A no-doubter on Beal Street. And she labeled it Hooper. And there he is. It's cool that your mayor can step up and drop in a three-pointer, right?
Absolutely.
That's cool. Evidently, it was 2 of 14.
Okay, but all we need is, it's rule number one.
Tell your story.
Correct.
Yes, exactly right. Still, 2 of 14. Tony Allen, Rudy Gay, Mario Chalmers were in this contest. And the winner was, in fact, Mario Chalmers, 10 of 14.
Okay.
Rudy Gay, 9 of 14. T.A., locking him down, 6 of 14.
So, still beats his career mark.
So there you go. Do you feel differently about Clemson or Houston as they leave Memphis now? Clemson's going to have Arizona, and Houston's going to have Duke.
So the only thing, like, I do feel like Clemson reminds us, hey, there is still the formula of have experienced guys that have been there, and I don't know if like that means you can be a Final Four team, but that does remind you that that's a way to get to a
it
second
is a way
weekend.
To get there.
The thing with Houston is, do I feel differently? If only I feel slightly worse, just because you realize like they are just one injury away or one bad whistle away, Like, you realize it got very dark and stormy for them very quickly.
It did get dark and stormy very quickly. Do you think, and I saw some of this on social media, do you think it was bittersweet for Memphis fans in the sense that they beat Clemson? Clemson is advancing. They beat A&M.
Yep.
A&M was here. So two teams that you've beaten, and then one of your old rivals, which has gone on to great things, also here. I'll be honest. While I understand why that might strike some as being, you know, a poke in the eye, I don't know. Like, you can't, like, there are things that are painful. Watching Florida Atlantic last year,
yeah,
for example, go on the run they went through, that's real pain, right? I get that. I don't think seeing Clemson or Houston, to me, one of my prevailing takeaways from the weekend was not, boy, this must have made Memphis. I think Memphis fans feel miserable because their season was what it was.
Yes, I agree.
Because they missed the tournament, but not because A&M was in Memphis Friday.
You had already figured out how you felt about this team well before.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Friday was some painful reminder, because I definitely agree with you. Watching FAU continue to win and win, that is a painful reminder. I feel like you...
what could have been. Here, right. There's nothing that what could have been. You blew it.
Correct.
You blew it. The angst about this team, the pain about this team, the trauma about this team was already fully inflicted. The fact that Texas A&M was here Friday and Sunday, to me, did not do much to put salt in the... For me, now maybe other Memphis fans feel differently about it, did not do much to salt the wound. It was... The wound was already deep. And the wound was already bleeding, and I'll stop the metaphor lest we lose people. But yeah, I didn't particularly care about that. I actually think probably bothers Memphis fans more. Although even this, I don't really know that Tennessee is within the Sweet 16. You know, if you're gonna say what, if you're gonna find some reason for, but in the end, I think most of the Memphis concern is just about Memphis.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't actually think it's a lot of, like, worry about, you know.
Plus, we got the Calipari thing losing already, so that was fun.
Well, like, normally it's like, worry about yourself. I feel like most Memphis fans are like, we are.
We are. Yeah, no, we are focused on ourselves. Yes, yeah. Take care of what you can take care of. We are 100% worried about themselves. So, all right. So, as you look ahead, how do you feel about Tennessee? Tennessee's got Creighton and then, presumably, Purdue.
So, I think what I would feel pretty good about is what Creighton has shown is they are very dependent on the three. And Tennessee, I do feel like, has shown an ability of we can still guard. And Creighton against Oregon, like, holy cow. But the big problem, though, with that game was, like, I'm watching that the whole time. Like, do I really feel like this is Oregon's defense? I feel like maybe Creighton is just freaking out. But of all the three seeds, like, I'm not shaking in my boots about Creighton.
No, I'm not either.
Now, where I guess Tennessee fans would tell you they're a little concerned is with Kalkbrenner in the middle. Like, they don't feel like that's a particular matchup. But I still, if I watched Cruzard go off on Creighton, one guy, I feel pretty good that Kinect can do the same.
And then Purdue.
I mean, I do think the thing with Purdue is they have proven that last year was more flukish and they freaked out and they had a bad situation. I just really, though, like, I'm starting to wonder, like, is Gonzaga maybe figuring it out? But at the same time, you're like, maybe Kansas had been screaming all along. They've been trying to tell us who they were. We just weren't listening. I mean, Edie has been a monster. But I just keep wondering, it's like, to me, it's always going to be a question of, do I still inherently trust the guards? And they've looked good this weekend, but I do think that was a pretty favorable matchup.
UConn looked like the best team in the country again. Just a train.
They just keep reminding me, like, God, those kids are good.
Yeah. Really good. Experienced, pros, everything. I mean, they are really good. And then I think the one that's more wide open is the UNC, Alabama, Clemson, Arizona. Like, that's...
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, because definitely with North Carolina, Alabama, like, Alabama showed at various times, like when they can get on these offensive runs, they can be awesome. And then yesterday they get into kind of the defensive-minded fist fight, and they were still able to come out of that. Carolina really flashed, I felt like, in the second half against Michigan State, but I still don't know if, like, I'm sitting there going, I trust North Carolina the same way that I trust UConn. I don't feel the same way.
A few other things to note from the first weekend of the tournament. Gonzaga has now made...
Nine straight Sweet
16s. Like, you want to be a mid-major, quote-unquote, that is taken seriously? Like, do that. Memphis in the last 10 years has made two. In the last decade has made two. Gonzaga has made nine straight Sweet 16s. In terms of conferences, Big East complained that they only got three in, all three to the Sweet 16, which does not, by the way, prove that more should have gotten. No, what it proves?
Your top-end teams.
It proves you had three really good teams at the top, which were 1, 2, and 3 seeds.
Yeah.
They were 1, 2, and 3 seeds, and they were really good. Doesn't mean the mediocre teams were good. It means you had three really good teams, and all three are going to the Sweet 16. The ACC has four of the Sweet 16. That is the 13th time the ACC has sent four to the Sweet 16. No other conference has ever sent, has done it more than five times. So the ACC having a great tournament. The SEC, obviously not. They had got off to a just brutal start, which I think people enjoyed after hearing Greg Sankey talk about how more SEC schools essentially should get in, is sort of the argument. And then, as we said, the chalk advanced. Every one, every two, plus two threes advanced. Two of the things I wanted to talk about from the tournament. Then we got Dan Devine. Then we got Chris Harrington. One.
Before we move on, I'd like to give one more quick shout out. Uh-huh. It was forgotten kind of in that wash because of Yale-Auburn. The Colorado-Florida game
was an awesome basketball game. That was a tremendous basketball game. No, you're right. You're right.
It just got caught up in the wash.
Two other things I want to talk about. One is the coaching stuff. Obviously, Dusty May, the thought was he would be headed to Louisville.
Yes. Well, the original thought was he was heading to Ohio State.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, maybe he picked Louisville because Ohio State says we're hiring the interim. Like, oh, maybe he picked Louisville.
And so the thought was he's going to Louisville. Ends up at Michigan, 5 years, $3.75 million, and Louisville is left thinking, what's next?
Are we going to do Will Wade?
You hear different things from different people. Like, very clearly, Louisville fans want Will Wade, right?
Yeah.
Louisville fans want Will Wade. Louisville administration may not want Will Wade. And so there you are. Dusty May leaves Florida Atlantic for Michigan. Which job would you rather have?
Probably Michigan, because I am still unclear of what the Louisville job is in this world. I do know that Michigan, we've seen multiple guys win big there.
Right.
It's not...
You know the money's pouring in.
And it's not the number one sport.
And it's not going to stop. It's not the number one sport. So
that means
pressure.
Expectations
you
are...
You can still win national championships without being the number one sport.
Correct.
I don't think it's particularly hard. Now, I think Louisville has had, you know, more success.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
But I don't think it's particularly hard. Partly because conference affiliation matters so much now, right?
Well, and I think if you're in this point in time, would you rather bet on the Big Ten job that's at the top half of the Big Ten,
right,
or would you rather bet on an ACC
that
job?
That may be imploding.
Who knows? You know what I mean? Like, I think
I mean, hell, let's be honest. Memphis fans talk about the ACC is going to implode, and then we can rejoin Louisville.
Right.
Is that the job you want if you're Louisville? No, probably not, right?
I think that's where I would go, Michigan.
Is Florida Atlantic going to still be good? Or was that it? Was it a two-year Dusty May
experience?
My gut says
that they put together a run. I don't know if they put together a program. That's my gut.
That's what I think. That's what I would bet. Like, who is going to be, presuming the conference stays the way it is over the next 5 years, right? Who is going to be Memphis's main competition?
I mean, I think we're getting back to, like...
I think UAB,
that's
among
what I'm
other
saying.
Things,
I think we're getting back to, like, it's Memphis and UAB.
Yeah. And then it was interesting watching all of this through the prism of the Grizzlies and draft picks, right?
Yeah.
And because there they are. You know, you get to see them all. You get to see Jacoby Walter missing two free throws. And you get to see the bigs. So you can see Filipowski playing for Duke.
Mm-hmm.
You can see Klingon playing for UConn.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see Misi playing for Baylor.
At least on the floor.
At least on the floor for Baylor.
I don't know about playing.
Here's the question. Has Klingon... This is why when I was talking about the Grizzlies draft pick earlier, and they're in this battle with the Raptors, right? This idea that it doesn't matter is fanciful, right? It matters. Like, watching Misi yesterday, and again, it's one game, but a couple things strike you. First of all, he's not that long. Like, he's not that big a human. He is tall.
Right.
But he doesn't have, like, these gigantic arms. He's not, like, an incredibly long dude. He's actually not. And extraordinarily raw, right?
Yes. I mean,
Can you imagine him? I mean, next year is going to matter for the Grizzlies, right? Next 2 years matter for the Grizzlies. Can you imagine Misi stepping in and having an impact for the... Even in a... Whatever, a 16-minute a game role.
No.
I haven't watched him a lot.
To quote Fran Fraschilla, it's like, it feels like he's 2 years away from being 2 years away.
I had a hard time seeing it. Now, obviously, he has some skills. He can put the ball on the deck. He can block shots, although he's not. You'll find out he's not. He's going to get not.
Like, honestly,
you know what we're talking about? We're talking about someone next year. Who you want? Now, there's two things. One is they want to take the player who will help them continue to be an elite team over the course of the next 10 years, right? That's true. That's one of the goals for the Grizzlies in the draft next year, is to take a player who will help them. But they need a player, not necessarily from the draft, but from somewhere, who is going to help them bang with the Rudy Goberts and the Jokic's, like, depending on the matchup. That player is not Misi.
I agree. I mean, the whole time I'm watching this, and I get it, they weren't playing simultaneously, but I'm sitting there going, wouldn't you rather have Dante from Oregon? Like, if you're getting that type of big, like the long, or the, not long, but the athletic quite project, it's like, what am I missing? Why is Dante not?
Whereas Klingon,
I feel like I've been on this ship for a while.
And by the way, to me, again, I'm not a scout here. I'm not John Hollinger. I've missed badly before. But to me, watching Klingon versus watching Edie, not as college basketball players, but as potential pros, I think Edie is going to be put in the blender. He is just going to be, like, he will have his moments. But the other thing is what do you do with him? Mostly you feed him the basketball. Because these don't need someone to be fed the basketball, right? They need someone to set picks, rebound, guard, you know, et cetera. And yes, and be something of a threat inside. It's just not Edie. Edie is going to be, he is a force as a college basketball player. Klingon, I think he could step in next year and give you 14 to 18 minutes a game and you'd be happy with it.
I think he moves way better than he gets credit for.
Way better.
Like, if we watched both of them yesterday, and my whole deal with Klingon is like, okay, what is it about Steven Adams that really was useful to the Grizzlies?
He's
very good in the pick and roll, and he was very good at rebounding the basketball. Well, what is Klingon? Like, that's his game.
I'm almost to the point where, then this is why the Grizzlies always said that, like, I don't know if he's going to fall to him. Particularly if it continues to blow up.
I mean, this is why I felt like, hey, we got to give yourself the best possible shot.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. We got Dan Devine coming up next, then Chris Harrington. This Saturday, March 30th, Robert Irwin Jewelers in Bartlett having a 6-hour 60% off sale. How about that? Robert Irwin Jewelers in Bartlett, 6-hour 60% off sale. Real deal, real 60% off sale. No marking up to markdown, none of that nonsense. For 6 hours, starting at 10 a.m. this Saturday, get 60% off anything in the showcase. 60% off designer jewelry, 60% off engagement rings, 60% off bracelets, earrings, necklaces, gemstones. It is the Robert Irwin store in Bartlett.
It's located at the corner of Bartlett Boulevard and Stage Road, right there next to Kroger. Sale ends, that's just Saturday only, March 30th. We come back with Dan Devine, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a waitress, so I know the difference between regular shoes and Skechers slip-resistant work shoes. Skechers slip-resistant work shoes make my job go like this. Here's your pasta primavera.
Thanks.
While regular shoes make my job go like this. Here's your pasta primavera. Whoa! And that difference is why I wear Skechers slip-resistant work shoes to keep me safe on my feet. Plus, they're easy to clean and have Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam for comfort throughout my shift. Get America's number one selling work shoe at Skechers.com, a Skechers store near you, or wherever work shoes are sold.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's gotta be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at salsa night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
3 and 2 and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up. Tools that help protect. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
Hey, Mid-South, it's springtime, so let's celebrate with the Gossett Mitsubishi Motor Spring Sales Event. Time to go spring breaking with 43 MPG Highway. Do it right with 2024 Mitsubishi Mirage. We Gossett for only $19,110 or $259 a month. Go your own way in style with 2024 Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross. We Gossett, $30,150 or $449 a month. Or hit the road in 2024 Mitsubishi Outlander SE, $36,165 or $399.99 a month. Plus, every Gossett Mitsubishi comes with Mitsubishi's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. That's Gossett Mitsubishi, 1870 Covington Pike, and 24/7 at memphismitsubishi.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
Mirage RH006614, MSRP 1916, Eclipse RZ032749, MSRP 30650, Outlander RZ012807, MSRP 36165. Includes all rebates and incentives, PF695, excludes tax, title, and license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through end of the month with approved credit. Dealer stock only.
You know it's no fun? A busted bracket. You can say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel lets you bet on every single game of the tourney. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, time to go dancing on America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's right. One measly little $5 bet, it wins. You get $200 in bonus bets that you can go ahead and use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win it all. Here's what you have to do, though. You got to go to FanDuel.com. That's FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's the promo code. C-A-L-K-I-N-S, and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Ready to take your skills to the next level? Introducing the MoreTech Retrofit Installer Technician Class, also known as Weatherization Training. A comprehensive 2-week training course designed to equip you with the knowledge and skills needed to excel in the weatherization industry. Learn to identify worker and client safety hazards and use proper personal protective equipment and safe work practices. Discover the fundamentals of building science and understand the house is a system, from air sealing measures to insulation and ground moisture barriers. You'll master the essentials of weatherization and gain expertise in duct inspections and learn to evaluate, remove, and reinstall windows and doors. Course material is curated from the best in the country. Don't miss out. The MoreTech Retrofit Installer Technician Class, held Monday through Thursday from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. at 1200 Poplar Avenue. Secure your spot today for just $2,000. Take a step towards a brighter future. Call 901-726-1977 or visit moretech.edu. That's MOORETECH.EDU.
Springtime is project time. Let Waste Connections handle the cleanup for you. From construction projects to move-outs, storm damage debris, roofing material removals, to any debris you got, we'll take care of it. No cleanup job job is too big or too small. Waste Connections. We see trash, we pick it up. Call us at 901-398-5400. Mention 92.9 and we'll even give you a discount. That's Waste Connections, 901-398-5400.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. You know when people ask if you have a good dentist to recommend? Well, I have a great dentist. It's Mehdi Sadeghi at the Smile Center. I've been going to the Smile Center for years now. My three boys all go there too. Mehdi is skilled, he's cheerful, and has always found time when emergencies arise. I honestly couldn't imagine a better dentistry practice than the Smile Center. It's where I send all my friends. So if you're looking for a great dentist, go where my family goes. The Smile Center is conveniently located in Germantown, or you can check them out online at smilecentermemphis.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love with the free Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams with Odyssey. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the free Odyssey app today.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Dan Devine. Writes about the NBA over at Yahoo. You should read him. You should also listen to him on the podcast, the Essential Podcast, No Cap Room, on Twitter or X at Your Man Devine. Dan is a disturbed individual, however, because while most of us were watching and enjoying the NCAA tournament, Dan wrote a column, I swear to God this is true, about the five worst teams in the NBA and what is interesting about them. And happily, the Grizzlies were not included. So we enjoyed that. How did you, by the way, do you watch the, are you able to watch much of the NCAA tournament as it unfolds?
Not particularly. And so part of it is just like, I mean, like the first couple of days, you know, everyone's already, you know, you're home or you're wherever you are, you're, you know, following along instead of doing whatever you're supposed to be doing. I have to set myself little challenges like it's time to write about the five worst teams in the NBA so that I don't just like completely sit on the couch for those 2 days and lose 48 hours. I have to make myself do something else. But the part of that that's funny is like my colleagues at Yahoo Sports are like, we'll do an experts pool, a bracket. And I'm like, expert would imply some expertise. I literally don't know who these dudes are. Like I will find out about most of the college players when they show up in the league or, you know, at some point down the line, and I've gotten to watch them a few times, I couldn't tell you a damn thing about these dudes. And they're like, yeah, but it's an experts pool, so we'll pretend you're an expert and pick. And I was like, if I win this, you guys should all be ashamed of yourselves. Like, that's really what it comes down to. I think the main takeaway from the first weekend is I am in no danger of that. But I don't get to, because of the overlapping situation of the season, I don't get to watch a ton of it, and then because I need to be the kind of person who could, at the drop of a hat, write a most interesting things about the worst teams in the NBA, you got to watch a little bit of everybody, so it leaves less time for the on-campus brand of ball.
It's interesting, because in the NBA right now, there is, I don't know, it feels like to me that there is, I mean, maybe we're having this Boston-Denver collision, but broadly speaking, sure. It has felt like over the last few years, there has been greater opportunity for more teams to actually think about winning a championship or getting to the finals. It just seems one of the happy developments in the NBA. And yet, when you're lost in the NBA, when you're wandering in the desert in the NBA, it never feels, I don't know that any league feels as hopeless. And this is something in Memphis we can be grateful for, because our bad season here, the bad season here unfolding here, does not feel like a permanent state, where for four of the teams that you mention, Washington, the Pistons, the Hornets, and the Blazers, it's just brutal.
Yeah, and so some of that is, it's all of these stories are unfolding on their own timeline, right? Like, the Blazers are in that brutal spot because they made the defensible position or decision to, like, we're not just going to, like, get rid of Dame a year early, because when you have a guy who means this much to your franchise, like, it's worth trying to do, exhausting all options to build something good around him or to keep him around. And, like, that's, you know, in terms of the long-tail story of a franchise, that means something. something, and that's reasonable. Now you're going to deal with some pain on the back end of it, but you know you didn't prematurely send Patrick Ewing to the Magic or the Sonics or something like that, right? Like that's there's a sense of we did everything we could with our franchise legend to the best of our ability. The Hornets, it's been sort of unclear what they want to be for. I mean, basically, throughout Michael Jordan's ownership, for a lot of it, like, wasn't really sure what the goal was outside of, like, when you're going to pick guys, it's pick guys that maybe Michael saw in the tournament. Beyond that, like, I mean, they've also, like, they had their franchise guy, and he just hasn't played. Like, LaMelo Ball's been injured for most of the last several seasons, and that's kind of what that is. And also, you whiff on a handful of years of picks, and, like, you don't get anything out of the James Booknight era, and instead of SGA, you drafted Miles Bridges, which worked until it didn't, and, you know, has a lot of other off-field issues. So, like, there's what it shows you, I think, with a lot of these teams is you gotta, when you are this bad and you have the opportunity to find the best thing, you gotta nail it and you gotta foster it and you gotta find the developmental context to help grow with those young players. Because if you don't, if you whiff on the picks or you don't make the right signings around them, you don't provide the scaffolding and the structure around those guys to elevate everything, you wind up in sort of a bad situation. And the worst example of that, I think, right now is probably in Detroit, where like Cade Cunningham is a really, really good player. You know, I think he actually didn't even play in March Madness, right? He was at Oklahoma State when they were on like a ban of postseason play, so you didn't even get to see him in the tournament. But he's that kind of talent. But everything else sort of around it for the last handful of years has just not grown in the direction they needed to. And so yeah, when you miss those big uppercut swings, you wind up facing down some pretty disadvantageous counts.
And then you got in this group, you got San Antonio and Wemby, which is totally different, obviously, because he's totally different. But it is interesting. Like Chris was speculating the other day. I mean, no one would confuse San Antonio with New Orleans, which has gone through franchise player after franchise player. But I don't know. Like, does what Popovich did with that team 15, 20 years ago, whenever, when he built the scaffolding, as you call it, around, does that necessarily, can we be sure that they will do the same around Wembanyama?
No, it's a great point. You know, you have to be able to continue updating with the times. And I think that's the encouraging thing outside of just like, holy cow, did you see what that impossible to imagine CGI person just did, is that it's, Brian Wright is now the general manager there. He kind of came up in the system under R.C. Buford and under Pop and those guys. And they've made a lot of decisions that are like, we understand we kind of need to turn over the soil here and we need to reload our draft coffers. We need to not be paying out a lot of sort of big, big deals because we want to be able to have a lot of flexibility in terms of how we build things. But they also, like, Devin Vassell was not like a flashy pick, right?
Right.
Trey Jones is a guy that, it was one of the sort of lower wattage players coming out of Duke. Kelvin Johnson is not a high wattage player, but they've gotten these guys who fill in roles. And so what you've seen now, like the first 20 games of the season, everyone was losing their mind because they weren't playing a point guard and they were trying to make Jeremy Sohan a point guard and no one was throwing the ball to the 7'4" guy. And it was like, well, why is this team this bad? Every time they put a point guard on the floor with him, namely Trey Jones, they're pretty good. Why don't they just do that? And part of it was like, all right, let's give ourselves like a couple of months to sort of see what this looks like, if we can stretch other guys' games, if we can give them the opportunity to grow into something else, because we kind of have a feeling what it's going to look like when we do this the other way. And then all of a sudden, he goes to play. Wembanyama goes to center. They put the point guard on the floor. Devin Vassell becomes the like number one wing, kind of like finisher as opposed to creator. And they let them play that way. And they look pretty good whenever they do that. They're not doing it full time because they're still in the business of trying to see what they have with all those other guys and like what are the other roster churning players can they project into real roles. I think the approach they're taking with it is pretty big picture and smart. Of course, you get to have the longest view in the room when you literally have the longest dude in the room. But that's where they are right now. And I think it's a benefit of the luck of the way the lottery balls picked out and when they were bad at what point. But the infrastructure they're trying to put around this thing makes a lot of sense. And they've already got more pieces than just the one.
More championships in the next 10 years. San Antonio or Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma City. They They've already got you talk about the infrastructure. They've built that out in that way, and they've got all the capital to put around Shea too. So, I mean, I think the answer on all of it is probably over under 0.5. But I guess if I was right. taking one, I would take OKC because you're right. The thing you said sort of at the top here, there's maybe it's just Denver, Boston, but there's a lot of teams that have a real shot at it, and Oklahoma City is one of them right already.
Okay, last question. Is Dylan Brooks going to be back in the playoffs this year? Or at least in the play-in? This is quite remarkable.
It certainly looks like it. This is a objects in the rearview mirror, closer than they appear type situation. Like the bottom fell out for them, for the Rockets, and I want to say it was like late December, early January. The offense totally fell off a cliff. But even as they were bad at scoring, Emay Duke still had that team playing a top five level of defense. And Dylan Brooks is a gigantic part of that. Fred VanVleet, a gigantic part of that. They were still getting stops. And for a young team, that kind of indicates they haven't let go of the rope. They still think that they're trying to do something here. And they put themselves in position to where you mix that defense in with an ungodly heater by Jalen Green, and all of a sudden Fred VanVleet's hitting 10 threes, and you're a 500 team, and you are right back in that mix. Because, and this is maybe the bigger story of the season, like in terms of the superstructure of the league, LeBron James and Steph Curry can't run away from everybody anymore. Like, speaking of objects in the rearview mirror, closer than they appear, even a team like the Rockets can walk you down if the rest of the team around those big superstars isn't quite up to snuff. And so that's what we've seen with Golden State in L.A. And what we're seeing in Houston is they brought in those guys. Everyone laughed, including me, and on this show, about the contract that Dylan Brooks got. The whole idea was we're going to build a spine that can stand up, and we're going to give these young guys an opportunity to develop in a real way, and we're going to start that on the defensive end of the floor. And you look up 5 months later, and they're a 500 team with a real shot to play for something serious. So yeah, Dylan Brooks in the sunglasses with the vest and the no shirt.
Crazy.
And all of it might be back on national TV before too long.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
No problem. Just take care.
The podcast is No Capram, your man divine, and read him over at Yahoo. Yeah, if you look at the standings, Jeffrey, right now, I would urge you to look at the NBA standings. What you will see is that Houston is having won 8 straight, and
including 9 of 10,
and 9 of 10, Houston is now 1 back of Golden State for the play-in. And so, what you might actually have, shockingly, what you might actually have is right now you could easily imagine Dylan versus LeBron in the play-in.
Again, I still would
You can
lean...
imagine Dylan LeBron in the play-in, because right now the Lakers are 9th, Golden State is 10th, Houston is 11th. They are 1 game back.
And those are really the only two. Like,
and there's separation between...
Correct.
There's the top 8, there's Dallas is 2.5. Dallas is 2.5 ahead of the Lakers, who are then a game and a half ahead of Golden State. So it feels like it's going to be between the if the Lakers and Golden State make it, they will make it as the last two play-in teams. And then there's Houston right there behind them. You got 12 games to go. Houston has 12 games to go. Can they? I don't know about the tiebreaker situation. Can they catch Golden State? Can they catch the Lakers? Either one. Obviously, the league would like to see, even if it's only for 1 game, the Lakers against Golden State. But how fun would Dylan against LeBron be?
Oh, I mean, you got the easy promo clips.
He's still old. He's even older. Whatever Dylan would say. I think Dylan would shrug it off this time. Dylan would not rise to the. Do you, by the way, as Memphians, do we want this? In other words, how do you feel about...
So Golden State, they've played twice, and Golden State has won twice. So I'm presuming they only play 3 times.
How do you feel about...
So Golden State...
Would you prefer Dylan Brooks and Houston get into the playoffs ahead of either Golden State or the Lakers?
I think at this point I'd prefer... Like, let's just get the Golden State Lakers. Let's get one of them out of this to begin with.
You'd rather Houston make it?
Yeah, I think so. No, I'd rather have like Houston, Golden State play. Or I'm sorry, Golden State and LA play each other.
So Houston not make it.
Yeah, I mean
the way to get rid of one of them is to make sure one of them doesn't make it. That's how
right,
you get rid of.
But
them.
I'm looking at the with the tiebreaker, they're essentially...
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not asking what the likelihood is. I'm asking what you would prefer. I find myself, and this is not typically always true, because I've been known to traffic in pettiness occasionally. I find myself kind of rooting for Dylan and Houston. You know, I mean, particularly if I'm comparing him to Draymond and Steph, right? I mean, I have nothing against Steph, but if I'm comparing them, they're one game behind Golden State again. Tiebreaker may suggest they're two games behind Golden State. But they are right now one game behind Golden State.
And they do play one more time.
I would, complicated by the fact that the Grizzlies should have Golden State's draft pick, which makes argues the other way, I think I'd like Houston to catch Golden State. I'd like to see that Dylan-LeBron matchup in the play-in. And then the other play-in would be Sacramento and Dallas, at least right now. It would be Sacramento and Dallas. And so one of those teams would then play the winner of the Lakers and Golden State. We're not going to have it's like Dan Devine said, we will not have LeBron and Steph anymore. Right? I mean, that era is ending.
Yeah, I that to me seems like, I feel like that last Golden State title was kind of like closing the chapter.
That's amazing. It felt like put a fork in Houston, and here they have done what they've done. We'll talk more about this with Chris Harrington. I don't know if he was able to watch any of the centers over the weekend, but Jeffrey, who went into the weekend,
his music selection implies he might have some thoughts on some bigs.
Strongly, Jeffrey has been on the Donovan Klingon train, and train is the right word, for a while now.
Choo-choo.
And I think he's just been damn impressive. If you've got sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.